Welcome to another poetry reading from a swimming pool. The acoustics will add a dimension to this. But this is a very touching poem, I find, because it is about something that we all experience. We've all known people whose company we have loved and gained from, who have moved on, who have died. And poets often celebrate somebody with whom they've done great things. And this is that kind of a poem. And it's written by Patrick Stack. And here is the poem. It's called Remembering Padraig. And it's for Padraig McGrane, a poet who I think lived between 1957 and 2008. Not a poet I've ever met myself. But this is what Patrick Stack has to say in his poem, Remembering Padraig. You wrote the best first line I've ever heard. Swans are vicious bastards. I used to cod you about your stony grey soil. You read aloud from Beowulf at my request in your soft Monaghan drawl. Ah, sure, was all you'd say with your characteristic double upward nod of the head. When reminded of the myriad stupid things we humans do, we'd go to O'Neill's for a pint on a wet afternoon, cursing the holy hour. Once we composed a triplet together, my two lines of nonsense anchored by your line of sense. My one regret is that we'll never share the easy confidence that comes with age. Your footsteps echo, yes, on the wet cobblestones of Santiago. Wow, I love the last line, on the wet cobblestones of Santiago. And in the context of this poem, of course, that wetness, the wet cobblestones of Santiago, suggests that there were tears cast in Santiago, maybe on the Camino, for the passing of Padraig McGrane. And of course, the first line of the poem is very, very attractive. You wrote the best first line I ever heard. Well, anyone can write that, you know, anyone can write that. But the only one who's written it that I've come across is Patrick Stack. You wrote the best first line I've ever heard. But many others could copy it. And that's a great start in a poem, that you almost like invite people. I wandered lonely as a cloud, strikes me as being in the same category. We all can wander lonely as a cloud. So you wrote the best first line I ever heard. That's a similar. And then swans are vicious bastards. I mean, that's true, but swans are sacred, loved and, you know, precious and greatly admired creatures. So to call them vicious bastards is both absolutely reminiscent of the things your mother said to you about, look, don't disturb a swan, they could hurt you badly with their wings. And indeed, somebody said to me yesterday how dangerous it had been when he stole an egg from a swan's nest in Limerick as a young boy. Swans are vicious bastards. I mean, it's a great couplet to start off. And then the rather enigmatic and intriguing line, I used to cod you about your, quote, stony grey soil. Now, all I can think about stony grey soil is that that is undoubtedly a cliché. Stony grey soil feels to me like as if I've read it several other times. Now, it may well have come from Seamus Heaney, but anyway, stony grey soil. It has me wondering, you know, how did Patrick Stack cod Padraig McGrane about stony grey soil? And then, you know, it gets deeper and deeper. You're drawn deeper and deeper into the world of these two men. You read aloud from Beowulf, and not just allowed from Beowulf, but at my request. And Beowulf, well, if any of you know Beowulf, it's a poem that draws you in, and the characters in it, you know, one of the characters is drawn down into the depth of the waters. So you're drawn in, and Beowulf, anyway, it's that kind of a poem, at my request. So you get to know a little bit more. One person could love reading. I also love reading Beowulf. I have for many, many, many years wanted to stage in some form, I don't care how many are in the audience, I want to stage the performance of Beowulf with a group of people in a circle reading Beowulf. I'd have to say it would be in the Heaney translation, because that's the only one I really know anyway well. I have read another one, but the Heaney one appealed to me a lot. Your soft Monaghan drawl, well, I can't pretend to be able to mimic it and take it off, but it's certainly soft. Monaghan is a soft accent, and it's a quiet county where there are not many people and things move slowly, and that the word drawl fits in with things moving slowly. So I'm not going to carry on, but the myriad stupid things we humans do, I mean, that's delightful if you already subscribe to the viewpoint that humans do stupid things. So hands up all those who don't subscribe to the viewpoint that humans do stupid things. So we belong in this poem. We're drawn into this poem. The poet has us with him. And then they go for a pint in a pub on a wet afternoon. Now we already know, because I told you, that it was a wet afternoon at the cobblestones were in Santiago, but we've got a wet afternoon, cursing the holy hour. In case any of you don't know about the holy hour, that I can tell you that the holy hour was the time during which the pub was closed in Ireland. Opening hours, when I was an early drinker, involved there being a holy hour. If I remember rightly, it was between 3:30 and 4:30. And actually, I think that being Ireland, it went on longer than a single hour. But what happened when they composed a triplet together? Now, you see, it would be ever so easy to say we composed a haiku together. But he doesn't. Now, I have no way of knowing if it was a haiku, because there are many forms of verse which involve three lines. In fact, there are several three-line stanzas in this poem remembering Padraig. But it may well have been a haiku. Who knows? My two lines of nonsense. So nonsense. Who wrote nonsense first? Poets are always referencing other poets. I think of Edward Lear. So is Patrick Stack referencing Edward Lear in this poem? It would not be an unusual thing for a poet to do. Anchored by your line of sense. Anchor, great word, anchor. And then what is the great wisdom in the poem? This is the great couplet of wisdom in my mind. My one regret is that we'll never share the easy confidence that comes of age. You know, when you reach a certain age, you do acquire a certain confidence. Obstreperance, perhaps. Obstinacy, perhaps. But certainly confidence, because you go past the point of needing to prove yourself to anybody, and you are confident in your own skin because it's the only one you have. I don't think it means you feel that you've cracked the meaning of life, or that you can, you know, deconstruct the number 42 or anything like that. But the easy confidence that comes with age is a challenge, really, to the reader. It challenges the reader to take sides in the argument between whether or not people of age who, have, when they reach it, have confidence, or whether the confidence of youth is more genuine than the confidence of age. It's a very interesting, you know, splitting or division, rather, of opinion there. And then we get to the poignancy of the poem, your footsteps echo yet. I mean, isn't that true? For those whom we have loved and with whom we have shared meaning-making, your footsteps echo yet are so, so reminiscent of our experience. You don't forget the people with whom you have made meaning, as long as you have the muscle of memory elastic enough to work on the wet cobblestones of Santiago. Yeah. He's a damn good poet, isn't he, Patrick Stack, you know? And the point about him is that he is a relevant poet, and he's also a resonant poet. He's not a resident poet anywhere, he's a resonant poet. I give you, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, thank goodness, Patrick Stack.